Wonderful, wonderful. John chapter 18 in our Bibles this morning. Gospel of John chapter number 18. We're moving through this book, and it's been an encouraging book to me. John chapter 18, last week we looked at the trial of Jesus, really part number one. We looked at Annas, and we looked at Peter, and we looked at Jesus. We had three thoughts concerning the first part of this trial. Number one, we said, your enemy does not play fair. And we looked at how they set up the trial and how it wasn't really according to their own rules. Number two, we looked at Peter and we looked at a thought, your flesh is very weak. Peter said, hey, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And we found him denying the Lord. And then we looked at Jesus as our example from John 18. We're going to look at the second part of this as we look at the latter part of John chapter number 18. And really, it's just a message that I've entitled The Trial of Jesus Part 2. So last week was Part 1. Today is Part 2. And I want us to see something similar. I want us to see three different types of people that I see in this story. Number one, I see the predetermined. We'll look at this in just a minute. But we see the Jews who kind of had their minds made up. Number two, we see the pleaser, Pilate. He went back and forth. The Jews to Jesus, back and forth. And we'll see Pilate's response. And then number three, I want us to see the persistent as we look at Jesus. You know, in the midst of the darkest time of his life, Jesus still continues to try to preach the truth. What a Savior we have. So follow along as I read. We're beginning in John chapter 18 and beginning with verse number 28. Verse number 28, and you'll see these three types of people in our text. Verse 28 of John 18, the Bible says this. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning as we look at this section of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would take truth and apply it to our hearts. Lord, you know where each one is this morning. And Lord, we believe you've brought us all together for this hour. And so, Spirit of God, I pray that you would take truth and meet needs. And Lord, I pray that you would glorify yourself in what's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. As I look at this trial, as I look at the second part of the trial that we're looking at here in John 18, as I said earlier, I see three types of people. I want us to look, first of all, at what I'm calling the predetermined, the Jewish authorities. We go to our text here in verse 28 of John 18. The Bible says here that it's interesting when you look at this group. Number one, they're hypocrites. Verse 28, the Bible says here that they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. So it's the time of the Passover. And they didn't want to be defiled, so they didn't want to go into the judgment hall. But it's okay for them to murder Jesus. It's okay for them to give Jesus an unfair trial. You see, they were hypocrites. They were determined that they were going to kill Jesus no matter what. We look back at John chapter number 11. We read this last week in John 11. You can hold your place in John 18. In John chapter number 11, we read this concerning the leaders there. The Bible says in verse 47, "Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles.'" You know, they disregarded his miracles. They denied his message. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus showed his deity as he performed many miracles in front of the multitudes that should have convinced them that Jesus was indeed God. He preached many a message that should have convinced them that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says here in John 11, they determined that they were going to put him, they were going to kill him. Verse 48, "If we let him thus alone, men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation perish not.' And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he professed that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." They determined, verse 53, "From that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." They were predetermined. They set in their mind that they were going to put Jesus to death. The predetermined. Jesus came that all might have life and that might have it more abundantly. Do we not see people today that fall into this category? I've talked with people and I've tried to help them to see that Jesus wants to save them. You go out in the neighborhood and you knock on the door and you say to them, "Hey, where do you go to church?" And they tell you where they go to church. And then I say this, "You know, it's not as important where you go to church as whether or not you know you're on your way to heaven." And they'll agree with you. And then you try to present to them the truth of Jesus, that Jesus saves. And I've had this response from individuals. "Well, I am..." Oh, we'll use Catholic, for instance. "I'm a Catholic, and I'm born a Catholic, and I'm going to die a Catholic." I try to help them to see, well, the reality isn't whether or not you're a Catholic or not. The reality is what you do with Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me that people can be in a religious system. I remember years ago knocking doors in a neighborhood not far from here, and I met this lady, and she had been in her religious system for about 30 years. She had been in her religious system for 30 years, and I asked her this, "Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven?" And she said, "No." How can you be in a religious system for 30 years and hope you make it to heaven? I had some Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door a number of years ago. I asked the exact same question. But I said this, why would I know based on the Word of God that when I die, I'm all gone to heaven. You told me that you hope so. And I said this, why would I embrace a religious system that cannot give me an assurance that I'm on my way to heaven? They kind of were a little bit dumbfounded and didn't really know how to respond. I'm kind of bad. Maybe you're not this way. I'm kind of bad. They come knock on my door, and I try to figure out which one is the one that's being trained, not the trainer. And I try to help the trainer to train the one that's being trained, and so I kind of target my questions at the one that doesn't know as much as maybe the one that... That's bad, isn't it? Well, we're trying to just train them. That's really the reality is we want them to see that Jesus saves. And I tell you, there's a lot of individuals that are determined that this is... They're not going to trust Christ as Savior. It's sad, really, because when you look at the Word of God, Jesus came to give life, and some rejected it. Probably many of them died and went to hell. You know, we look at that. Sometimes we look and say, how could these people be so hard? How could they be so stubborn? Do any of you know any Christian people that can be hard or stubborn? Huh? You see, we know what the truth of the Word of God is. And sometimes we can make, oh yeah, I need to change. Probably all of us would say there. How many of you in this auditorium would say, I do not need to change in any way, shape, or form? Anybody? All right, so we all need to change. Do you know, nothing's going to change until something changes. And sometimes we can have a determined, we can be as hard-hearted, as stubborn, even as God's children, in saying, yeah, I need to change, but change is, it's down there somewhere, way down there somewhere. And change needs to happen today as we do what? As we submit to the work of Jesus Christ, as we submit to the words of Jesus Christ, as we allow God to change us, should not our prayer be, Lord, change me? Should not our prayer be, Lord, I need to grow to be more like yourself? Should not our prayer be, God, I want you to use me in a greater way today and tomorrow than you did in the past? I want to be used of you, Lord. You see, the predetermined. Sometimes we look at the Word of God and we say, what in the world was the problem with these people? And we don't recognize that though we have trusted Christ as Savior, sometimes we can be just as stubborn. We know what we should do, and yet often we live where we shouldn't be. The predetermined. I want you to see, secondly, as I look at this story here, I see the pleaser, which is Pilate. So they come to Pilate, and they want Jesus put to death. And Pilate asks, look at verse number 29. He says, what accusation bring ye against this man? So Pilate's trying to figure out what in the world has he done. And they said, well, if he wasn't a bad guy, we wouldn't have delivered him. If there wasn't a reason to bring him here to you, we wouldn't have done it. Verse 31, Pilate says, well, why don't you take him and judge him according to your own law? What they needed is the approval of Rome in order to put him to death. So they could sentence him, but they couldn't put him to death without Rome saying, it's okay to do this. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to get Pilate to condemn him so that he can die on a cross. Now we know, obviously, that the scripture, verse 32, was being fulfilled here. They kind of shift their argument a little bit, not that he makes himself God, but they kind of shift their argument. I mean, imagine they're talking to the authorities. And so they start emphasizing the fact that, hey, Rome is in charge. But this guy, Jesus, he's saying he's the king of the Jews. And so somehow Jesus is going to be a threat to Rome. You know, it's kind of like they push the right buttons, you know? When you're a kid, you know whose buttons to push, mom or dad's, right? You want to get your way. I mentioned all the good kids that are going to the party, and you hope that one of them, all right? They kind of push buttons. And they're pushing Pilate's buttons, trying to get Pilate to say, whoa, to rise up a little bit and think, hey, this guy is going to be a problem for Rome. This guy's going to be a threat to the Roman government. It's interesting how many times the phrase king of the Jews is mentioned here. Look at verse 33. Pilate answered, entered in the judgment hall, and called Jesus and said, art thou the king of the Jews? Verse 37, Pilate said, art thou a king? Verse number 39, ye have a custom I should release unto you at one at the Passover. Will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Verse 3 of chapter 19, and said, hail, king of the Jews. The most interesting one is found in 19 and verse number 20, verse number 19. Pilate writes a title, but we'll look at this in a future week here. He writes a title and he puts Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this kind of bothers them. And they said to the chief priest, to Pilate, verse 21, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. I love Pilate's answer. What I have written, I have written. Pilate first tries to avoid the situation by saying, well, you take just Jesus and you try him in your own law. Well, that kind of doesn't work. And then he tries to remedy the situation by asking Jesus a series of questions. He's asking Jesus these questions to try to trip Jesus up. And we find Pilate kind of caught between the two, don't we? We find Pilate intrigued by Jesus and wondering what's up with this Jesus. We find Pilate out here trying to appease the Jews and say, hey, what did he do wrong? Why don't you try to do it? He tries to avoid the situation. He tries to remedy the situation. After questioning Jesus, he finds Jesus not guilty. Now think with me just for a minute. Here's Pilate. I think it's amazing how God, in his sovereignty, orchestrates things. Here's Pilate, somebody that's unsaved. We know the Bible says he didn't do any sin, right? Here it's being confirmed by someone like Pilate that says, hey, I don't find any fault in him. It's amazing to me. And then he asked Jesus, well, what in the world have you done? Verse number 35, what have you done that your own people have kind of delivered you unto me? And of course, he tries to mediate the situation at the end. One last ditch effort. He says in verse 39, he goes out and says, you have a custom. I should release unto you. He said, can I release unto you Jesus? Because he didn't find any fault in Jesus. And what do? They say, no. Here, and it's interesting. The Bible tells us that Barabbas was a robber. He was a bad guy. He was a guy really deserving the judgment. But instead, they choose Jesus. Pilate's own wife, if you want to look at it, you can, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19, says this. His own wife tells him not to have anything to do with Jesus. Matthew chapter 27, if I can find it here in a minute. Matthew 27 and verse number 19, the Bible says this. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have now nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Think about this. Pilate says, I don't have any fault. I don't see any fault in him. His wife says, hey, don't have anything to do with him. But Pilate still releases Jesus to be crucified. Why? He was a pleaser. He was a pleaser. He weighs out the odds and thinks, we don't really know all that's going on here. Obviously, we don't understand the heart of man. Only God does. But we do know that Pilate is seeking to play the middle ground, and eventually he offers Jesus to be crucified because of the peer pressure of the crowd. Do you know some people don't ever trust Jesus as Savior because of the peer pressure? I remember talking to an individual that came from an Italian home, and I guess there's a lot of loyalties in an Italian home, and this guy said, I'm not going to trust Christ as Savior because my family will forsake me if I do. Do you know a lot of home? I think it's good that families are close. I think it's good that families are tight. But I don't think it's good when we cave into peer pressure of somebody. You know, that guy will die and spend eternity in hell because of his family, and he never trusted Christ as Savior. You know, sometimes there's a tendency in people to reject Christ. But you know what? Have you ever known people, even Christian people, that sometimes play the middle ground? Let me ask you this question. Why is it that sometimes it's difficult for us to give the gospel? Is there not a pressure amongst people that don't want the gospel? Hey, we're living in a day and age now where I think it's important for us to let our light shine and let it shine brightly. You know, we're living in a dark day and things are going further and further to the left, but God's still on the throne. And we're still have him, and he's a power. The gospel's a power of God unto salvation. And the world needs truth, and they need us to open our mouths and communicate truth. In John chapter number 42, the scripture says this: nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They were Christians, but they stayed in the closet. You know, everybody else is coming out of the closet. I think it's time for Christians to come out of the closet, don't you? I mean, you hear all kind of people, I'm now this, and I'm now that, and I'm this and that. And okay, whatever you're going to be, but I'm a Christian, and I love the Lord, and I'm going to serve the Lord. And it's time for us to rise up and say, you know what? I'm standing with the truth of the Word of God. And let our testimony, let our light shine brightly. You know, we read of things, you see things, whatever they are, Facebook or wherever it is, and you think, man, that's grieving. Wow, this is dark. And we got to say, hey, I'm going to get double A batteries in my light, and I'm going to really shine for Jesus. That's what we need to do, folks. Pressure. Pilate is pressured. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, Brother Steve read this at our table this morning, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Peter said this in Acts chapter number 5. Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey God. God has us here for such a time as this. You know, we can go back and look at Esther and see, wow, what amazing God had her there for such a time as that. It's wonderful. But you know, in 2021, we're alive, aren't we? Pinch yourself. Make sure you're still alive. All right? You still alive? We're here in 2020. And though we might want to go up yonder, He hadn't called us up yonder right yet. And someday He'll call us up yonder. And until He calls us up yonder, He has a job for us to do right here and right now for such a time as this. And we cannot allow the pressure of this world that wants to conform us into its mold to keep us from being what God wants us to be. I'm thankful for the lady that got saved yesterday, our kids' cola class. It was just a mom. She brought some youngins, and these were youngins. I mean, they were probably a little younger than first grade and maybe even kindergarten, but that's okay. Why'd she come? I don't know. Somehow she slipped through the cracks, and you know what? I'm glad she did. Because she left here having trusted Christ as Savior. The pleaser. There's a little bit of pleaser probably in all of us. But you know what? We need to recognize that God has to be number one in my life. And it's about Him. And I need to live to please Him. Now I want you to see thirdly, we see the predetermined, the pleaser. I want you to see the persistent. I want you to look at how Jesus responds to Pilate's questions. Do remember, He's not that far from the cross. But being not that far from the cross, He stays on mission. He stays on task. He's asked in verse number 33, verse number 34, Jesus says this. In 33, He's asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered Him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of Me?" And Pilate and Him interact, and He says, "What have you done?" And Jesus begins, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, My servants would fight. But it's not of this world." And Pilate asks, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus says, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." As I look at the Lord Jesus at a dark day in His life, recognizing the cross is just a radar around the corner, He could have given up. "Yeah, I'm a king of the Jews, and buddy, let me tell you something, I'm going to heaven, and blah, 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 blah." No. But what Jesus does is He begins to engage even Pilate. "Is this you, or is this someone else? My kingdom's not of this world. I came as a messenger of truth." Isn't it amazing? To me, it's amazing that when Jesus, and we'll look at this passage in upcoming weeks, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, there's somebody on the cross that trusts Him as Savior. "Today you'll be with Me in paradise." Jesus was persistent in doing what the Father had called Him to do. No matter what conditions He found Himself in, He stayed on task. Do you know it's easy for us to get off task? It's easy for us in the darkest times of our lives. I think of Paul and Silas. They're out witnessing, and hey, you know, you're taking some money from us. Throw these guys in prison, and they throw them in prison for really not doing much of anything. And they find themselves in prison, and they pray, and they sing praises. They find themselves in a different environment, not a very comfortable environment, but they recognize that the environment in which they found themselves was a platform that God wanted to use them to be a witness. In a dark time in their life, they stayed on task, and what did God do? God used them to see the Philippian jailer saved and his whole house. In a time when they could have been focusing on themselves, woe is me, woe is you. Again, remember, before they put them in prison, they beat them. I imagine the pain that they were going through. And their prisons weren't like our prisons. I remember visiting a juvenile detention center one time. And part of me, you know, I was in my late 20s, a youth pastor, you know, part of me kind of wanted to stay there. I mean, really. I mean, I went in there and they had a ping pong table, had a nice big TV, you know. It was like a game room. And I thought, man, this is kind of cool. Wow, this is prison here? They didn't have a prison like that, you know, with ping pong tables. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure that we have more higher security prisons in other places. By the way, I've been to some other higher security prisons. That's kind of freaky. You ever go in there to visit somebody and you leave all your stuff here, your phone and all that, everything was civilized, you go in there and they close this door, boom, big door, and then they open this other door, and you go in there, and then they close this other door. I mean, you got to go through three or four doors, and then when you go into the room, it's everybody together. I mean, you're talking to your person, and there's could be a murderer over here and a drug dealer over here. Who knows, you know, and you're in there like, whoa, I'm kind of outnumbered. If there was a riot, I'd be in trouble, right? You have to trust the Lord, and you go, you try to talk and communicate. You know what? Even those prisons weren't like the prison that the Apostle Paul found himself in. But rather than say, hey, woe is me, and I got problems, and this isn't fair, life's not fair, why does this always happen to me? He said, no, God brought me here, and we're going to be a witness. It's amazing what he says in Philippians chapter number 1. He's writing to the church at Philippi. We know that the book of Philippians is a prison epistle. He's writing in prison. And he says this in Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 12. I would... ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Hello, here I am in prison, but you need to understand that I'm here that the gospel might go forth. My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places. Do you know the Apostle Paul saw himself as an evangelist in prison, as an evangelist in the palace, as he stood before, and we see this in the book of Acts, as he stands before Agrippa and Festus, what does he do? He continues to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He continues to preach what Christ did in His life. And as I look at Jesus, and I look at His example, I see in the darkest hour, He doesn't give up. I tell you this, Satan will do everything he can to get you off track. We know what we're supposed to be as Christians, a witness. We're supposed to be faithful. And you know what? But he'll do whatever he can to get us off track, to not do what we're supposed to do for the Lord Jesus. But not Jesus. He's persistent. Hey, God sometimes allows our car to break down. We might witness to the mechanic at the shop. I remember hearing a story by a missionary named Tom Johnson. Car broke down on the side of the road. He was more spiritual than me. He said, well, Lord, you must want us to talk to somebody. Sure enough, somebody came by to help, and he led that person to Jesus Christ. My car breaks down on the side of the road, and sometimes I'm like, man, this ain't right, you know. And this is the last thing I'm thinking about. Lord has to hit me over the head and say, hey, do you think that you could give this guy a track? Oh, yeah, my bad. You know, sometimes I don't even have them on me. Isn't that bad? What do? You know, you say, hey, you know, leave him in the car. I don't carry a purse. You know what I'm saying? God sometimes will send us to the doctor's office. He'll send us to all kind of different crazy places out there. And sometimes he does it because he wants us to lead people to Christ. A number of years ago, my family and I were in Murfreesboro. We were in Nashville, Tennessee. We were there in Nashville, Tennessee for a conference, and it was just a family conference. And after the conference, we decided that we were going to go out for ice cream, and so the girls always vote for Chick-fil-A, but Chick-fil-A was closed. So the boys won, McDonald's. How about you go? Nice and healthy. We were just going in there to get ice cream, and it was just about to close. And we went into this McDonald's, and we're in the lobby of this McDonald's getting ready to order. It's just us until these two dudes come in. And these guys come in. They look a little rough, and they come in. And they're mad. I mean, they're mad as all can be. They are just mad. And they're yelling, at, bring him out here. Bring him out here. Bring him in. And I'm standing there going, hey, what in the world's going on? So I asked them, I said, hey, you know, what's up? And the guy said, well, we went to the drive-thru, and that guy called him a name and in Spanish or whatever it was. And this guy speaks Spanish. He understands, and we're going to deal with this. I didn't know what to do. I kind of did a dumb thing, but it all worked out. I says to the guy, well, can I buy you an ice cream? Yeah. Why did I say that? I don't know. The guy says, no, I don't want an ice cream. Why would I want an ice cream from this place? Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to make a long story real short. But we were there for such a time as that. We got to talking to the guy. Oh, they travel with the circus and this and that. And we had a gospel tract, and we witnessed to him. And right there at 11 p.m. at night, whatever night of the week it was, that guy prayed and trusted Christ as Savior. My wife took a picture of it. I don't know where the picture is now. It's probably up in cyberspace somewhere. You know how pictures, they just go, ooh. But I tell you this, I grew up in Philly. You know, when you hear trouble like that, I'm out of here. I'm gone. You know, we always ran. We didn't stay, have fights. We took off. We learned to run quick. But in this particular place, I asked the dude, can I buy you an ice cream? That was stupid. But it ended up bridging a gap and ended up giving us opportunity to see an individual trust Christ as Savior. We find ourselves in a lot of different situations. You might this week. As we get in these situations, may we be ready with gospel tracts and ready to continue to point people to Jesus. Because that's what Jesus does as he's being tried. Is this you, Pilate? Or somebody else? I'm here as a messenger of the truth. We see the predetermined. Sometimes we can be hard-headed too. We see the pleaser, but we see the persistent. Lord, I pray that you would take truth now, and I pray you would help us. Lord, sometimes we can be stubborn. Sometimes